pensions, things go downhill even more, partly because pensions are seen as complex, and to a degree, I mean, they are complex, so it's not surprising that people get confused or indeed, you know, just switch off from them. Whereas, in fact, they're just so important. When people get to retirement, it's probably going to be the biggest financial decision they make of their lives for a lot of people. People used to say that about buying houses, but now it's probably the case with pensions. So it's important that people do engage and do understand it. But it is tricky. You know, it is complex.
It is very tricky. But, you know, if you join a large corporation, you know, a government organisation, you get the pension thrown in, the pension pot, that's all part of the deal. But if you're a self-employed, you know, person, a one-man band, it's maybe the last thing you think about, particularly at an early age. And I cast my mind right back to when I was a youngster in the building industry, for example, to think about a pension in your 20s. You just don't think about it. There are more important things to worry about. But it is important to get that pension in place, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that, yeah, it's very, very hard for people to think about pensions when they're young, because retirement just literally seems so far away. But I think the thing that needs to be understood is what does that pension bring? So the first thing, of course, is that when you make contributions, you will get tax relief. So straight away, there's upside, if you will, on those contributions that you make. The other thing that people have got to understand is just the power of compounding. So if you start saving in your 20s, you know, 40 years later, that money would have compounded many, many times. And it's that power of compounding which actually builds up those pots. Whereas if you leave it, you know, just a few years, and you have less time to compound, then it does have quite a big impact on the size of that pension pot when you come to retire.
It's fair to say, isn't it, Jonathan, that a lack of planning, a lack of knowledge, and just not getting around to thinking about pensions means that even those who are saving into a workplace or personal pension are doing so quite passively, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think one of the problems here is not so much where the money's invested. I think in a lot of workplace and occupational pension schemes, the trustees have put in place a good pension scheme with a selection of funds. Often they have default funds, which if you don't actively choose a fund, they will put you in. And I think that's fine. You know, I don't think we should be trying to make everybody an investment expert. What's important is that they're paying in. They think about the contribution they're making and what sort of income over the long term that's going to give them. So I think actually we can simplify it a lot when people are saving, because it really is about that contribution level. But I think as you get towards retirement, then you have to start making much bigger decisions. And if you get those decisions wrong, then they can really hit you financially. So that's when people really need to start engaging, really need to start understanding it. And to do that, they need support. You know, it's very, very difficult just to go off and look at websites and understand this stuff. Generally speaking, you do need to talk to people that understand it.
And as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you're part of a large organisation, your pension is pretty well taken care of. They'll pay whatever into it, whatever percentage you earn. But if you're a one-man band, if you're a lone operator or you're a small organisation, you have to sort out your own pension. There are so many products out there. I mean, how do you know which is the best one now?
Well, I mean, it is very difficult, because again, you need to look at some key variables. So, I mean, the first thing that you should look at is the costs. So when you invest money, what is that costing you? What charges are being taken from the fund managers for the funds you're investing in? Often there's what's called a platform charge. So again, what is that charge? So there's certain things where, again, it might be preferable for that individual to go off and get some advice as well, particularly if they're self-employed, to try and understand actually how they should build that up. Because again, with self-employed people, often their earnings will change year to year. So they might have a very good year, then they might have a poor year. But actually, so their pension contributions may change naturally year on year. But there are things they can take advantage of. So you know, carry forward, for example, so contributions that they haven't used the previous year, they could carry forward to the current year. But getting advice around all of that and what plan might be best for you, I think is really, really important. In fact, there's some interesting statistics from the National Longevity Centre, and what they said is that people that go and get financial advice are generally £25,000 to £30,000 better off because they've taken that advice. So often you hear people saying, well, I'm not going to go and get advice because, you know, that costs me money. But certainly there are studies out there that say, well, yeah, well, it will cost you money, but actually you're likely to get that back and then some.
As far as current employers are concerned, what can they do to help their employees get up to speed when it comes to their pensions then, Jonathan?
It's really important that they put in a process whereby their employees can access information, education, guidance around this whole area. So what we are seeing arising now with a lot of employers, both actually across the private and the public sectors, is that they're wanting to put in interventions to help employees understand this stuff. So typically that might be educational seminars in the workplace or perhaps virtual seminars over the internet. Increasingly, they are putting in things like guidance helplines so that those employees can call up and speak to someone who is knowledgeable and can answer those questions. And some of them are also appointing regulated advisors so that actually for those employees who want to go through the full regulated advice process and effectively get a clear recommendation, then there's somebody that's or a firm that's been vetted by the employer that the individual can go to.
Is it fair to say trustees are doing enough to help people who are taking out pensions? Because it is a minefield out there, Jonathan, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good question in the sense that there is a concern that whilst the regulator says to trustees, hey, you know, you do need to step up, you need to make sure that members can make informed decisions, you know, particularly as they get to retirement. There is always a concern that actually what trustees do is they do the minimum that they need to do from a legal and compliance perspective. But of course, doing the bare minimum doesn't necessarily mean that therefore you're doing the best for the members of that pension to help them come to a good conclusion and therefore optimize their income when they get into retirement. So clearly it differs scheme by scheme and employer by employer, but I think there's a general view out there that more needs to be done. And that's basically because all of the good work that trustees could have done in terms of running a scheme, in terms of making sure the cost structures are low, making sure that the investment funds are appropriate. So all those, if you like, marginal gains that they've achieved by running the scheme really well, they can be lost at a blink of an eye if a member then makes a really, really poor decision at retirement.
Okay, and you're, as we established at the beginning of the interview, the director of one of the directors of Wealth at Work, a specialist provider of financial education and guidance in the workplace. How can you help with this whole issue surrounding pensions?
So we go into the workplace and we explain to employees actually how pensions work, and then depending on sort of where they are. So if they're young workers, it'd be very much more around why you need to save into a pension, perhaps what contribution the employer will make, what that may mean over a number of years, how tax relief works, what funds they can choose from. But then, of course, as people head towards retirement, then it's very much more trying to explain to employees, again, particularly say 10 years out from retirement, where, okay, they're not retiring straight away, but they need to start thinking about things. So they need to think about what pensions they've got, because of course a lot of people will have more than one pension because they may have worked at multiple employers. What state pension they're going to get. A lot of people completely overestimate what they're going to get from the state pension, but again, you can go on the government website and get a state pension forecast, and for some people that might be a big chunk of their retirement income. But also look at other savings and investments they have. You know, other people put money in ISAs, for example, which they earmark for when they retire. So 10 years out, it's really, really important that employees understand all the things that they need to look at. And of course, at that point, they can take corrective action. So if they were thinking of retiring in 10 years' time, but actually, when somebody's gone through all that information with them and said, well, look, all things being equal, you're likely to generate an income of X. If they're thinking, wow, you know, that's a lot less than what I was hoping for, then at least they've got 10 years to maybe make more pension contributions, or maybe they will decide actually they're going to work a little bit later in order to save a bit more. And then when they get to the point of that they do retire, actually they've probably gone some way to build up that plan. So we support employees in terms of understanding that, and we do it with things like, you know, we run seminars, we have helplines, we give them calculators and tools where they can fill in various numbers from their pension schemes and it will calculate what income they might generate based on different assumptions. So there's a number of things that we do to try and help those individuals.
Yeah. I must admit, I was a bit disappointed the other day. I logged into my own personal pension online, and since the start of COVID, it's lost about £5,000. But I'm hoping that'll return in the not too distant future. But yeah, good point you mentioned about ISAs and property, for example, rather than opening up a pension. People prefer to go that route, don't they, these days? I mean, there's a few years ago, there was a lot of doubt about the whole pension scheme. It wasn't worth the paper it was written on. But you're suggesting that pensions are important, that we really should look into opening up a pension scheme when you're particularly younger in work.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we had new legislation that came in a few years ago now around auto-enrolment. So people automatically now get enrolled into their company pension. Now, people can opt out of that, but actually the statistics show that very, very few people do opt out. So it does mean that people are now starting to save from a much earlier age. So I think that actually the younger people may do quite well, because they are now auto-enrolled, and they will have the impact of that compounding, if you like, over their working lives. Whereas I think you've got other groups of people that may be in their 40s roughly now, where actually they didn't start saving into a pension until a few years ago. So they might have had 10, 15 years where they just didn't save anything. So those are the people actually that may find themselves short of where they want to be when they get to retirement. Now, they might have other things like property, for example. But again, even when they've got property, it's important to understand, well, what does that property mean in terms of your retirement income? You know, is it that you're going to sell that property, and then from the proceeds of the sale, that's going to generate an income? Because, of course, property is not as tax efficient as it used to be for second properties. So you know, they need to understand the tax implications of that. Or are they saying, no, I have a buy to let, or I have a couple of buy to lets, and actually it is the income from those buy to lets that's going to see me through retirement. So again, you know, how much do they get from that? Is that enough? So I think people often think about the capital appreciation of property, but they don't actually think that when you're in retirement, actually it's not really the capital appreciation that you need, it's the income you need.
Good point. All right. If anybody wants more information about what you do and how you can help, then Jonathan, where do we go?
Yeah, so if you want some support from Wealth at Work, then by all means go and have a look at our website, look at wealthatwork.co.uk. I think for individuals looking up their state pension, go to gov.uk/check state pension. And then there is government support as well through organisations like PensionWise. So again, you can look up PensionWise, and they provide a lot of resources on their website and also have a helpline.
All very useful information. That's great. Jonathan Watts-Lay, who's a pensions and retirement expert, director at Wealth at Work as well. Thank you very much for joining us on Connections Radio today. Thanks, Jonathan.